I'm here on a job site with Tim, who owns his own electrical contracting business.
3 employees and 2 work trucks.
Tim traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance. We're positively here where he needs us most.
They sure are.
With step-by-step help on all his insurance needs, all for shockingly low rates.
Shockingly low, huh?
Just a little bit of electrician humour. Do you get it?
I got it.
You know, it feels like we have a real connection. All right, I'll stop.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
0141-951-1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we get set for Scottish Cup semi-final weekend. Rangers' Europa League journey is over, though, losing 2-0 to Athletic Bilbao last night. Brendan Rodgers again outlines the case for Greg Taylor to stay at Celtic ahead of Sunday's Hampden semi against St Johnstone. And before that, it'll either be Aberdeen or Hearts who become the first team into the final. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have Scott Allen and Hugh Evans.
I think if the suggestion is that the microphone is working now, I think if the suggestion is that Rangers were denied a penalty and that's why they lost the game to Athletic Bilbao, is a far-fetched suggestion. I think that the Rangers imploded in the Basque country. They simply were too much confusion over who should be playing where. They were unlucky in terms of Balogun having to go off with a fractured cheekbone after colliding with one of his own players, but at the end of the day, they have conceded a penalty, and James Tavernier, I don't think, was alert enough at the second goal. So they're out of Europe, and Barry Ferguson now has to make the most of 5 domestic fixtures, which are meaningless unless you count the one on the 4th of May.
A frustrating night for Rangers, obviously, in the Basque country. For me, just a step too far, obviously, came up against a quality side and Athletic Club. Rangers will be frustrated maybe with the penalty. Could the game have went a different way from that route? But ultimately, it's a good effort to get to where they've got to that deep in the tournament. But now on to Saturday and Sunday, where it's semi-final Scottish Cup.
Let's do it then. 0141-951-1025. Obviously, last night got a lot of the headlines in this morning's papers. So what did you make of it, Rangers fans? Where did it go wrong? How annoyed are you at ending that Europa League journey? How did it come to be on the night? Was it all down to the penalty or non-award? I know lots of you very unhappy with that. Barry Ferguson unhappy with that. How much did that change things tactically when you look at the reshuffles that went on? Did one or two things not go to plan there in terms of the attacking threat? How much was it maybe lacking on the night? And then overall, just your thoughts exiting the Europa League. Do give us a call, please, on 0141-951-1025 right now. Maybe a bigger picture as well. What does this mean then for Barry Ferguson's job prospects? What does this mean between now and the end of the season? What do you want to see happen going forward? Give us a call right now, please. Scottish Cup semi-final weekend, always special. Celtic, of course, looking for a treble potentially, and it's St Johnstone on Sunday. So what are you thinking then, Celtic fans? There is another passionate plea, is that maybe a bit strong, but a real positive case for Greg Taylor to stay at Celtic from his manager again. He clearly wants this to happen. So what do you make of that? We'll play some of his thoughts a bit later on. He was obviously keen to outline as well that anything can happen. Lost to St Johnstone only the other week. And do you remember last season's semi-final? Joe Hart taking a penalty, missing a penalty, saving a penalty. Who knows what's in store for us at Hampden this weekend. Speaking of which, Hearts fans, how much do you need progression to the final? How much does Neil Critchley need it? Give us a call. And could we be in for one of the weirdest, most intense afternoons that we've seen at Hamilton Accies Stadium in a long time? 15 point deduction and at home tomorrow. Are you going along, Accies fans? What's that going to be like? Give us a call right now on all of that and more. 0141-951-1025. No shortage tonight, Hugh.
Absolutely not. I listened to the Hamilton Accies fans on the programme last night, and some of them deeply emotional about what's going on. They're playing Queen's Park tomorrow. Hapless Queen's Park, who've gone 8-9 games without winning any. Ordinarily, it would be a very important occasion and one to which John Rankin's team would rise, but there's all sorts going on behind the scenes, so that would be a ground to watch. With regard to the semi-finals, Celtic must want revenge on St Johnstone for what happened in Perth 2 weeks ago when the Saints won 1-0. And for Neil Critchley, it's crucial that Hearts don't fall at the semi-final hurdle tomorrow, because I think that would be the end, or potentially the beginning of the end, for him as Hearts manager.
So not quite win or bust, he's going one step below, or...
If he makes the final, then he's bought himself time, a stay of execution. If he goes out the weekend after the draw with Motherwell, which came the weekend after the defeat from Dundee United, which came after the weekend before when Celtic beat Hearts, he's on borrowed time. And the caller on Monday night, the Hearts fan who was most upset and said that this man, even at a time when Hearts have a good financial base to work from, Neil Critchley came in October and has not been a success thus far.
Huge weekend, whatever way you look at it, whether it is the Cup semis or in the Championship, down the leagues, so much happening. Give us a call right now, please, 01419511025. Let's start by looking back on last night in the Basque Country. Rangers going down 2-0 against Athletic Club on the night. Same score on aggregate, and it just wasn't to be. Rangers couldn't quite muster any real threat. Of course, there were various things that happened within there. Penalty decisions for and against, a couple of injuries, some tactical reshuffles. There was a lot to get through. The first leg kicked it all off. It was the most dramatic 0-0 we'd seen in a while, and a very similar incident-packed night last night. So whatever you made of it, give us a call on 01419511025 right now, and we will work our way through it. Of course, we'll hear from Barry Ferguson as well. In fact, why don't we do that now? Let's hear what he thought of the performance.
Obviously disappointed. The work rate was there, just the quality at times wasn't, which I spoke about with the players after the game. They understand that as well. So look, it's going to hurt this one. We need to go away and reflect a bit, not just the players, myself as well, and make sure we come in on Monday morning and finish the season as strongly as possible. They're disappointed because they know the qualities that we've got. In terms of, as I mentioned there, they worked hard enough. That's never been in doubt. Since I've come through the doors, it's just the wee bit of quality in the middle third and the final third that we just didn't quite get right. So I want them to hurt because I'm hurting. We're all disappointed. But the main thing for me is that they need to come back in, as I said, on Monday and finish the game, the season as strong as possible. There are 5 games left, and make sure we get 15 points out of the 5 games.
Ian is on the line. What did you take away from it, Ian? How are you feeling today?
I don't know, really. I mean, to be honest, I was kind of 50-50 last night, whether we get through or not. Probably more 60-40 in Bilbao's favour, but Rangers... First of all, Rangers weren't good enough to get through. But like everybody else, I think that watched it, I was astounded by the penalty with Kudessers. I don't know. I don't see the point in having VAR anymore. Honestly, I know that the panel will probably say that, oh, it gets more right than it gets wrong, and that's probably true, but when you're looking at things like that, if the officials are only seeing what they want to see, in my opinion, then what is the point? And VAR was brought in for things like that. If the referee misses that, then the VAR should pick that up. There's no way in a million years that isn't a penalty. And it's I've been on before and I've questioned referees and I've said something probably I shouldn't, and I get told to take it back. But this to me, it's just farcical. What is the point in having all this technology if people aren't going to play the game and play it fairly? I don't get it. Honestly, I really don't get it. Do you think? I'd like to ask the panel. Do you think it was a penalty? Are you all in agreement, or do you think?
Yeah, I think it was a penalty, but the award of a penalty is not the award of a goal.
Does he, to be fair, though, right? Ian's not saying it isn't. Let's deal with whether he thought it should have been or not. Because Ian's first statement, I think I like the way he packaged it. He said it's Rangers weren't good enough to go through.
Yeah.
So that's fair.
That's correct.
So did you think it was a penalty?
There was a penalty. But as I said at the start, if you're going to say Rangers were denied a penalty, therefore that's why they lost to Athletic Bilbao, then that's simply inaccurate.
That's fine. But Ian didn't say that, to be fair.
Ian said, you know, officials only see what they want to see. Therefore, Ian is suggesting that it was denied Rangers for a reason which Ian is yet to specify.
Scott, penalty for you?
Yes, penalty for me. Yes, they still have to score it, but I feel if Rangers do get the penalty, they do score it, then the Rangers' mindset in the terms of how they want to set up to then go and play the rest of the game is completely different. We've obviously seen that they could contain Athletic Club in the first leg. Yes, they would have come under severe pressure, but it gives you a foothold in the game. So for me, it was a huge decision.
How bad are we talking? There are degrees of mistake. Because like, obviously we disagree with loads. But, you know, like whatever word you want to use, Stonewaller nailed on. Are you amazed that it wasn't given? Give me a sort of scale of how you thought the decision was.
Give me the three options again.
I think they were all just similar. I was just spouting phrases. Is that Stonewall?
Was there any suggestion that Dessers went down in a kind of theatrical fashion?
Yes, but for me that shouldn't matter whether it's a penalty or not. In my opinion, I don't think it should matter. I think the action of the Athletic Bilbao defender is of panic because he thinks, oh, Dessers has got a chance of getting in here. That's why he then grabs the shirt. The quality of the shirt material might be up for questioning, but for me, listen, it's the panic mode from when a defender sets in, and Dessers, for me, you can't tell if he is going to go into the ball or he's not. So
I think that's what was quite unique about it, Hugh. You've got physical evidence of the shirt pull.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, we speak about this before and the way the rules are, and it should be a good thing. Look, not every shirt pull in the box is a penalty. It just can't be. But you're The telltale signs refs are usually looking for is when it's that, when you're really trying to hold someone back, basically. No, just not standing next to them, just got a little bit of your shirt. You're trying to pull them back. Usually you can see the shirt extend. In this case, it ripped. So yeah, you wonder what the communication was from VAR.
Well, we can't possibly know that unless we get a transcript. But, you know, Ian has to be careful with they only see what they want to see. And, you know, he's suggesting cheating. As I say, this penalty controversy is going to be a comfort for the Rangers fans because it overlooks the fact that there had to come that night when Rangers' performance level in Europe dipped, and it did last night, and when the performance level of their opponent rises. Athletic Bilbao were much better in their own country, on their own ground, than they were at Ibrox, and they dominated the game. So if it's a comfort to you to say the non-award of the penalty explains everything, then okay, but that's not the truth.
But you keep saying that, nobody's saying it explains everything, not Scott, or Ian.
No, but Ian's the first caller and he's focusing on the penalty.
But the penalty in the grand scheme of things of that game at that time though can then define how the game goes, and Rangers being comfortable without the ball and not having to press forward looking for another goal, they can change
Rangers
the game.
Went down to 10 men at Ibrox in the first leg and had a terrific performance in spite of going down to 10 men. So again, we've got this assumption, if Athletic Bilbao go down to 10 men, that's it, the whole night will be different and it will be in Rangers' favour. I don't buy that.
No one's asking you to, because nobody's saying it. I don't understand that. Why that's the route that we're going down? Because if what we're saying is actually, if Rangers were a bit toothless in attack, didn't really carry much of a threat, then maybe a penalty is exactly what they needed.
Exactly what they needed.
Because they didn't carry enough of a threat elsewhere. Ian, Hugh's already fed up of it 16 minutes into the show, so I'm worried about the next hour and 45. What did you make of the performance, all the other stuff that goes around it?
I I think Rangers give them too much respect, to be honest. I think if Rangers would have, if they'd have played, I know they had a kind of attacking side out, but I don't think they went to Bilbao as much as they should have done. And I think when they only started really attacking Bilbao when Bilbao got a second goal, and then just started pinning them back a wee bit. And I think they've done more in the last 10 minutes attacking-wise than they've done the previous 80 after Bilbao scored the second goal, and it was too late by then.
I never quite get this, showed them too much respect. Why wouldn't you respect the team who are fourth in La Liga behind Barcelona, Real Madrid and Atletico Madrid?
But did you think they were so good that you couldn't try and hurt them? Just based on what you saw?
I thought, based on Ibrox, I thought Rangers would go through. I thought Rangers would win last night.
Well, you had them in the final. You've texted me every round until last night. I thought your Nokia was broken at one point. Didn't hear from you last night.
I think if Rangers go out from the start and look to get at them early doors, I feel that they would get picked off in the counter-attack with the players that Athletic Club have on the counter-attack. I think you did see that even up until Bilbao scored at times when they gave needless possession away. They looked to spring on you because of the quality of players they have. I think once the game's 2-0 for Bilbao, they were happy. They kind of knew that Rangers weren't going to threaten after that. So in the last 10 minutes, the easiest thing to do is then just go direct and get guys forward and commit. But by that time, I felt Bilbao were in total control.
If it could go wrong, it did go wrong for Rangers. Yeah. You know, the whole business about Nsiala warming up and then the don't put him on and put Conan Barron on. There was the unfortunate clash between John Souter and Liam Balogun. James Tavernier was definitely at fault for the second Athletic Bilbao goal. It was that night when, and yep, I did say they would get to the final, but their performance level dipped to an extent that they had no chance against Bilbao.
Well, now we know why they didn't. Your fault, yeah, basically. Yeah. 01419511025. Thank you to Ian in the city centre for kicking things off. Keep them coming. Scott is in Cumbernauld next up. What's your thought tonight, Scott?
I'm just a bit concerned. I understand, like, when we were talking about the original red card and, like, the potential red card after the shirt was torn, right? Of course it's a penalty. I don't think anybody can deny that. It's a red card, and I understand what the guys are talking about on the panel there around Rangers not deserving to go through over the two legs. I can agree with that. However, if you do, pardon me, if you do go down to 10 men, which presumably would be a red card because it's denying an obvious goal scoring opportunity, then that can change the dynamic of the game. And that is before we get into the second. The red card potentially when it comes off the defender's hands is a Vivian. I can't remember the guy's name.
That one wouldn't have been a red card, to be fair. But you might have I know that Barry Ferguson certainly thought it would be a penalty. The first one is interesting, Scott, because you've both said you think it's a penalty. If that penalty's given, might well have been. I can't really see how you would give that penalty but then say it wasn't denying a goal scoring opportunity. As we said, look, that's hypothetical because it's not given. But if it is, the punishment might well have been red.
Yeah, I know, but you're right. We can only speculate.
Sorry, I was my fault. I was putting it to Scott Allen, and I should have specified. I was kind of agreeing with you. I wasn't disagreeing. That could well have followed that sanction, couldn't it, Scott Allen?
Yeah, it could have. I think, like Scott says, and I did say that with the previous caller. I feel that at that time, if Rangers get the penalty, it goes down to a red card. The dynamic of the game does change. Hugh doesn't think so, but I did think that Rangers then, with the goal lead, they can pick and choose when they have to attack. We've seen that they could have robust defending like they did in the first game when they were down to 10 men. Yes, they're away in the Basque Country and they were going to come under a lot of pressure, but when you have that goal lead, it gives you that extra percentage when you're defending things, and the communication's easier between players because you have that protection. You know what's at stake come a semi-final in European competition, so it was a big defining moment in the game for
me. You would accept, though, that's a hypothetical argument.
Yes, absolutely.
That Rangers would have gone on and done this. Bilbao faced 10 men at Ibrox for almost 90 minutes, and Rangers were better than they were.
No, but listen, I think obviously you're both right, but no one's guaranteeing anything. If that was the case, we would just never debate any refereeing decision because we would just say, oh well, you never know what effect it has. So, you know, we have to kind of do them on that case by case. You think the handball as well, Scott, later on?
Utterly convinced. I've seen them being given and I've seen them not being given, but agreeing with what Scott was saying there again about it, and we don't know if they would have scored the penalty anyway, but even being down to 10 men gives Rangers a shout. And we've seen that kind of thing before in the route to Seville when Dortmund conceded a penalty very early on, and I think it may have been Ngannou, can't remember, but Tavernier dispatched that one and Rangers went on to win the game and ultimately get through over the two legs. So perhaps it could have went that way, but do I agree that Rangers deserve to get through in the grand scheme of things? No, probably not. It's just that defining incident. This is what it comes down to, guys. It comes down to the inefficiency of VAR, and we see it a lot in our league in the SPL, because maybe it's because the stadiums aren't big enough and they can't draw the lines, but I really do. I think it's a waste of time, and I'd like to hear the panel's thoughts on that.
But I think, is that not two separate issues, Scott? Because waste of time, potentially, but all the excuses or all the sticks that we used to beat our game with, it's not in play last night. You've got a full-time referee. He's refereeing in one of Europe's premier competitions. You've got way more camera angles than we have. So are we not just seeing human fallibility play out right in front of our eyes? Because we find these excuses here. Actually, it's because we don't have enough cameras. Our full-time refs would clear this up. Just watch a Champions League or a Europa League game and those myths get busted.
We just did, and we've seen it with our own eyes, and everybody, I think, anywhere that's supposed any team would see that as a penalty and a red card, surely.
But that's what I'm saying. So I don't think it's the inefficiency of VAR. It's yet again here. I know it's really boring. If human subjectivity is involved, that's what you're going to get.
Yeah.
Switch on Match of the Day on a Saturday night, you'll see horrendous refereeing decisions.
Sure.
Switch on La Liga, Serie A. It's not to say that it's all okay, because it happens elsewhere, but I think partly because of VAR, maybe, I think we've kidded ourselves on that we can rid the game of these mistakes, and we can't.
No. VAR is a convenient excuse. Rangers go out, we're blaming VAR. Or any other team who goes out. VAR's a bad thing when your team loses. It becomes a better thing when your team profits from a VAR decision. I think it's as simple as that.
We just watched that. There's English Championship action on the TV, and someone hits a shot, it blatantly hits the player in the face, but the ref gives a penalty, and of course they don't have VAR, and it probably would have overturned that, but then we make mistakes anyway, so who knows. Anyway, thank you to Scott on the line, 01419511025. Plenty more fun when we return.
I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
No, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Scott Allen and Hugh Keevans are about to be joined on the line by Elaine, who's in Benidorm. Very nice, Elaine. How are you?
Hi there, all good, thanks.
Just phoning in on your holidays, or do you live there?
Yeah. No, we're just on my holidays, so we're watching the football.
All right,
How's the weather?
It was actually raining for 2 days, but it's got a bit brighter now.
What's it about? 6 degrees and pouring here, so you won't get any sympathy from us. What are you thinking tonight then?
I just kind of thought it was a wee bit embarrassing last night, watching Rangers with their bits of paper and passing it on to each other, and I just thought there was a lack of communication between them all. Because I've never seen that in many years when I've watched football. But with the bits of paper getting past the boot, and I thought it was quite embarrassing.
Biggest lack of communication was they couldn't appear to read the note properly. But I think you're right, Elaine. I think it all unravelled trackside. There seemed to be indecision, and too many players were moved out of their natural position to an unnatural position. Nobody seemed to quite know what they were doing. I do understand that in the heat of battle, and it's a magnificent stadium, full house, I do understand you're trying everything in your power to fashion a result, but I just get the feeling that, there was complication all over the park.
Yeah, I don't think you can argue in terms of the communication. I think you did see that with the substitution of when Barron came on for Ridvan. You could tell that 15-minute period that Rangers really struggled communication-wise in terms of who was playing where and who was picking up who in terms of the team. In terms of seeing the bit of paper come on the park, I can't say I've ever been in a team where that's happened, but I think we've seen over the years that you're trying to get a message on. Obviously, the atmosphere was electric last night in Bilbao, but ultimately Rangers were just found wanting. It was one of the ties where they just didn't do enough in terms of an attacking sense to really go and win the game and win the tie. And ultimately they got what they probably deserved in the end, and Bilbao going through.
Do you think that indecision over the first substitution, Elaine, and Sella not coming on and then coming on at half time, do you think that kind of held Rangers back within the game a bit?
I just feel that there's too many kicks spoil the broth. There's too many of them on the dugout and too many of them getting involved in situations.
Look, to be fair, because I've no idea how could it. We don't know who said what to who, Scott, and it might have been every single bit of it is Barry Ferguson's decision and no one else says anything. No idea, wasn't in the dugout, but it just felt like whatever it was, that it felt like the wrong sub at the time, and then it kind of played out that way.
Yeah.
Because there's then an admission, really, when you then, you know, you
change it,
bring in Sial on. What did you make of that moment in the game? Because the annoying thing for Barry Ferguson, to be fair, would be that he already was having to play Yilmaz out of position because of other injuries and suspensions.
Yeah, I think injuries in terms of the last few weeks have had an impact on that. I think he'll be frustrated. Up until half time, you could see that Rangers were struggling in terms of trying to get a foothold in the game, and then ultimately undone with a minute to go till half time. So that would have really frustrated him. If you can get in there with a draw at half time, you can then reset, make the substitution, and then get your points across at half time, and then the players go out and know what their directive is in terms of the team. In terms of too many cooks spoil the broth, I think when there's that much at stake, it's hard not for everybody to get involved. People do see this the game from different views, even if you're on the same coaching staff. So you might see something you're trying to pass on to Barry Ferguson to then get it on to the players. But listen, it didn't work.
Like I say, we don't know if that's what happened either, though.
How many times, though, in Rangers' European run have we said, for example, when they go to play Mourinho in Istanbul, and you think, where did that come from? And we've constantly said that about Rangers, but last night it wasn't so much where did that come from as what's going on?
Yeah, did it feel like just a stretch too far last night, Elaine?
Yeah, I feel like it's every game. There's too many people in the dugout, too many people saying too much stuff. I feel like if it was just Barry in the dugout getting his instructions, then it was a bit better, but I feel like there's too many people getting involved.
All those people were in the dugout when Rangers beat Celtic 3-2 at Celtic Park, Elaine.
Yeah, there was a lot of them in the dugout spraying water and etc.
Right.
I don't know where Cherny gets into this argument.
He's in the coaching staff.
I think it's one of those things again whereby if you go to Istanbul and beat Fenerbahce 2-0, then everyone's saying Barry Ferguson, Neil McCann, Billy Dodds, Alan McGregor, that's the way ahead. But when you go and lose 2-0, then there are too many people there.
Well, Hugh, ultimately, Rangers are playing against a better side last night. You also look at their position in La Liga. Rangers haven't had a consistent season. So for Rangers to go over there and get a result, you need nearly everything to be perfect, things to go your way. And it was just one of the nights where
nothing went
the way. And the quality caught up with them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the notion of playing the fourth best team in Spain and a team that's lost fewer matches than Real Madrid and Barcelona and the team that's got the Williams brothers, I think, Scott, people wouldn't have been, I don't think they would have been surprised if they had really just flexed their muscles, shown their quality, just far too much for Rangers to handle. But I wonder if there's a wee bit of frustration in there that it wasn't quite like that. Like, Rangers never came close to doing enough to win in the tie. But also there were moments where you thought, are they that good? Just based on the eye test. I know in terms of their credentials, of course they are, what they're achieving currently. But do you know what I mean? It's not like you were watching it thinking, wow, this is...
It wasn't Spanish pure football in terms of that. But listen, they do have some real quality. They obviously sit in that league. And you've got to look at the league position and how good their home record is. And I think you've got to look at Rangers in terms of the players and the profile of players they have at that level of competition. They were playing against a better side. For you to go over there and win, and a hard place to go and win, as we've seen from the record, you need a lot to go your way.
The second best team in La Liga are out of the Champions League on a 5-1 aggregate hammering from Arsenal. I sometimes think we're deferential when it comes to things like La Liga. I know that Arsenal are better than Rangers, but there are just times when it's not your night. And for Real Madrid against Arsenal, they were shown not to be as great as they might think they are.
Thank you to Elaine. Enjoy the rest of your holiday. 01419511025. The penalty discussion. I can see lots of you still trying to get through on it. This was Barry Ferguson's take on the incidents.
It changes the dynamic of the game. Ending here, it says it's not a penalty. The first one in Cyril, it's a clear pull. It's a clear red card. They go down to 10 men, as I said. That changes the full game. And it baffles me at times, some of the decisions. And then the second one in the second half with Nico, his hand's out here, it strikes his hand, that's another penalty. I'm not going to tiptoe around about it. I think everybody in this room and everybody that watched the game knows it's a penalty kick and a red card. So again, it's disappointing that the referees no made the right decision. And then the second one is clear as day as well when Nico strikes it. Before he strikes it, it clearly hits the player's hand. So, we're disappointed and frustrated that we never get both penalties.
Here's one for you, Hugh. You know, everybody pretty much, it was Barry Ferguson says, who watches it, thinks it was a penalty.
Yeah.
Do you know who doesn't?
Who?
Bartley.
Oh.
Just wait till you hear from him next week. I'm outing him on here. He's not convinced.
What's his explanation?
Oh, some sort of mumbo jumbo. Can't
the sweet spot of the strip.
He thinks the player just found a weakness in the sweet spot of the strip or something. I don't know. Well, phone in, Marvin. I know he likes to listen on his dog walk. Tom is on the line. How are you, Tom?
Hello.
Hi, Tom. Got you now. How are you?
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Pleasure. Thanks,
Duncan. Hugh, I've listened to the show for years and years. Hugh's my senior for about 4, maybe 5 years. I've got great admiration for Hugh, but I was sitting last night, and the way the game went, I said, I guarantee you, Hugh, I'll say... That's my first point. I guarantee you, Hugh, will say, aye, but if Rangers, how do you know they're going to score the penalty? But what happens if they do score the penalty, Hugh? And because to me, it changed the whole perspective of the game. Yes, we're a bit, it's a convoluted argument. If we'd have kept Balogun on the park, Yilmaz on the park, and, you know, things went against us last night. You know, when things don't go wrong, they went wrong for us totally last night. But my argument is, or my point is, yes, we were probably, at the end of the day, Hugh, beaten by the better team on the night. Certainly on the night. However, to me, if we go one up, it changes the whole perspective of the game.
In your estimation.
Well, I'm honestly right. We're only at 27. I'm going to put my foot down here. We cannot keep arguing about whether or not it would have made a difference, because none of us know. Hugh doesn't know, Tom doesn't know. We can debate whether it was a penalty or whether it was not, but if we keep doing this, we'll never debate another refereeing decision ever again, because you never know what's going to follow. Can we all just knock that on the head?
And might I remind you, Tom, that I was the one who said Rangers would make the Europa League final.
Yeah, you did. You had full faith.
Very confidently as well, Hugh.
Yeah. I just think, as I said, there had to come the night when it all went wrong instead of it all went right. And for me, last night was that night. It just all went wrong.
I think the timing of everything feeds into that. You know, when you do concede your, when you concede the penalty and score, it's the 48th minute, maybe 33 minutes added on. What does Leon Balogun last 20 seconds maybe of the second half that just felt like,
yeah, if it could go wrong, it would go wrong.
And that takes everything in, doesn't it? Some of it's your own fault, some of it, if there's a perceived injustice there, but it felt like everything was just heading in the wrong direction.
I wasn't entirely convinced that Robao's penalty was a penalty. How are you having that one?
Yeah, he comes on the blind side of John Souter. It's good play from the striker, gets his foot across.
To address Tom's point, it's amazing. Tom knew on Thursday night what I was going to say at 6 o'clock on Friday evening. But I repeat, the penalty, the non-award of the penalty was not the score 2-0 in Bobal's favour.
Oh, I'm losing the will to live already. Tom, talk bigger picture to me, you know, in terms of what this, I mean, what this means. Does it mean anything either way for Barry Ferguson? Quarterfinals of the Europa League is...
I think had we got the result last night, which I was hoping for, and I know Hugh was hoping for. But a different point, and I like both the panel and yourself going, I mean, VAR, why was VAR not even called into that last night? That infuriated me, actually, because we spent so much money on this VAR, and VAR was put in this to take out all these arguments, to clear up all these problems. To me, it's actually spoiling. It's bloody spoiling football. You know, it's absolutely spoiling football. And your question is, Gordon, I think about Barry. I think last night probably cost him. I was hoping, because I think we go on and we secure that game, we win it, or get through in penalties, whatever. His name's got to be in the bowl for his perspective to get the job, which I would have loved to have seen, because to me he's brought back about a steal, about a fight back to Ibrox. He knows what the club's all about, and he actually, for me, I don't know about you guys, he comes across in that interview wise, Hugh would know probably better than anyone, he's like a Walter Smith when he comes across in the way he speaks. He speaks a lot of sense, and he doesn't hide behind anything, you know. He just speaks the truth, and he calls it the way he sees it, you know. What do you think on the VAR thing, you know, panel?
Well, I mean, Ange Postecoglou said it was killing the game. I'm not a big fan, but I do appreciate that at times it rights wrongs. Last night it did not appeal to the Rangers following. But VAR is here to stay, and we have to take it face value.
Thank you, Tom. On the line, let me tell you about this before we go on. Clyde One. Make me a winner. We guarantee someone out there will win £530,000. To enter, text YES to 61025. Text are 250 plus your standard network rate. You can enter at makemeawinner.co.uk for 250 or call 03434 269 340. And the calls are charged at a standard rate. It's over 18s only. Calls, all the rules, sorry, for this Rail Network competition are on our website. Lines close 5 p.m. next Friday. Just answer your phone. The £530,000 would be yours. Text YES to 61025.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Scott Allen are here. It's 0141 951 1025. The previous caller before the break was discussing a bit about what happens now. What's Barry Ferguson's future looking like now that the Europa League journey is over for Rangers? Let's hear it from the man himself in terms of the managerial position at the club.
It needs to get sorted soon, because we, as a club, we obviously need to do a lot of work. It's getting late in the season. The club needs to get back challenging. So in terms of my future going forward, I'll just need to wait and see what happens there. But I just want my club to get back to where it should be. That's my main concern. Whether that's me or somebody else, and if it's not me, I'll fully support. I'll go back and do what I was doing before and get right behind making sure that we get the club back to winning trophies on a regular basis. Look, I was enjoying myself, but listen, I got an opportunity that no many people get. I would have been crazy to knock it back. I know I had a lot of doubters, but I've no issue with that. Everybody's entitled to their opinion, but I know I can do the job. I know I've got the right people behind me, and all I was focused on was making sure the 3 month was as enjoyable as possible. Now we've had a few bumps in the road, which is tough, but that happens at a club like Rangers. But my main objective, and I think everybody who's connected with Rangers, is to make sure we get the club back to a strong position and challenging every single season, because this season has been well off the standards that's required.
Did it have to be something special in the Europa League to win Barry Ferguson the job, or can there be more nuance to it? You know, we heard that all this stuff about, well, if he wins it, then they'd have to give him the job. Okay, win, next step downs, reach the final, the semi. So if it's the quarters, is that enough, or is it not black and white like that?
I don't think it's black and white, because Andrew Kavanagh and 49ers Enterprises, how do any of us know what they're thinking about anything?
But just sort of Ferguson, in your sort of opinion, then
he won't get it.
If heaven forbid to the Rangers fans you were making the decision, would it have needed more in the Europa League? Because obviously we knew domestically he couldn't do anything about that; it was gone.
Yeah, but his domestic performances are being looked at as well.
Home form.
Yeah, he was yet to win a game at Ibrox, for example. But for me, it's impossible to say. Barry Ferguson was correct insofar as there's so much to be done. Cherney's future, what is it? There or not there? Hadji, there or not there? Cortez, £4.5 million, but doesn't play. Etc, etc, etc. So there is so much to be done. The clock is ticking, but none of us know for sure what's going through the mind of Andrew Kavanagh and the people he represents, whether it's Barry Ferguson or someone else he'd rather have in that position. But I don't think last night did Barry Ferguson any favours.
I think, looking at the whole picture since Barry Ferguson's come in, I think there's been a lot of good stuff there. I think the obviously in-game decisions which he's made have worked, shows that tactically he is sound. I think that home form is going to be the big question mark, because he hasn't won at home. The performances have been disappointing. You take the Celtic game and the Fenerbahce away in isolation, two fantastic performances. At the same time, it's not his group of players. Has he got a turn out of some of the players who weren't performing well? I would say yes. But ultimately, I think Hugh kind of hits the nail on the head. Everybody's in the dark at this moment in time.
This makes me suspicious. This almost never happens, and I would try and clear it up, but we're closing in on the break. I've just got an unknown number popped up on the screen. This person doesn't have a name, so reveal yourself.
Marvin Barton.
Oh, as well.
You will know who it is.
They've stitched me up.
I am out walking my dog, and I hear my good name being slagged. So I know you're going to go to a break quickly, but I have a point to make about Scott Allen saying what I said about the shirt ripping. And do you know what, Gordon?
This week's spot.
We were speaking about it earlier. And you know what? I've been contacted by a kit man who had shirts made by the same company. The club no longer used them. But there is problems with them. When the shirts have sweat in them and they are pulled, they rip. So it's happened at Wolves. It's happened at, I think, Ireland were using them. It happened at the club that I'm talking about. So just saying that his shirt was ripped means that there was a pull. I totally agree with that. There was a pull on Bessers. I just don't believe that the pull was enough for a point to be given or for him to go down the way that...
Am I going to have the lawyers for this sportswear manufacturer on to us before 8 o'clock?
But it's the only time we've seen it this season.
So why were the shirts not ripping all over the place last night?
There's a bit of sweat on them.
But it's not every single shirt. Literally, you can look it up online. He's actually sent me a picture of a load of different ones.
Wow.
It's just what's happened to them. So, Scott, are you saying that the force of that guy pulled Dessers is the reason that shirt ripped?
Yes.
Are you saying that was the strongest force of any pull during that whole game, actually, this whole season?
I think so, yeah.
So just for the avoidance of doubt, just so that we're listen, you know, I always like a spread of opinions. Just so that we've finally found one, you don't think that was a penalty last night?
I can see why the penalty was not given. And people keep saying, what's the point in VAR? Why are we paying for VAR? Now, it's very simple for me to explain this. If the referee says to VAR, I saw contact, but not enough contact to give a penalty, the only reason they can pull him to the monitor is if there's a clear and obvious error. So if they believe that there's more force than what the referee's saying he saw, then they can pull him there. They can't, even if they disagree with him on his opinion on it, if he's explaining what he's seeing and it matches up with what they are seeing, regardless of how much force he's saying or what they believe, unless it's excessive force, they can't pull him to the monitor. So
excessive force is not a consideration in shirt pulls. You'll have to consult your rule book again. It does not, excessive force
what was
is
it
not
you
a consideration.
Saw, Marvin, what was it you saw that made you sceptical?
In terms of the incident yesterday, I thought that there was definitely, Dessers goes across him and he reaches out to him. 100% he does hold his shirt for a split second. And then, obviously, Dessers then goes down, etc. Then he turns around in his shirt strips, and everyone's like, well, if he's ripped his shirt, he has to have pulled. I'm not denying that there was contact between the defender and Dessers.
If the strip doesn't rip, does he hold them longer?
Well, we never know that, do we? That's like saying that he was talking about earlier, if they get a penalty, we know he's scored. We don't know that, so we can't debate that. I don't know whether he would have done that or not.
Well, you can't hold something once it's ripped, can't you? Know what I mean? It's not originally where it was.
Well, no, you can. I think the reason he probably lets go of it is because he does feel it like coming totally towards him. So obviously, he does rip it. I think that's why he does let go of it. If he doesn't rip it, then potentially, he holds on for longer. Ooh. I'm unsure if that happens, but I don't just see how we're saying, oh, because the shirt ripped, it's 100% a penalty, and then blaming VAR. If anyone's to blame, it's the referee, because he's the one who describes what he sees, and VAR can only go against him if it's totally different in the pictures to what the referee's explaining to them.
We might have plunged to new depths here. We're analysing the thread count on Cyril Dessers' shirt. Listen, it's good to have balance, in all seriousness. I don't mind it. All I'm taking away from it is that he's the type of guy that pulled people's shirts and wanted to get away with it. That's what we did. Scott 100%. Allen is a cultured footballer. You were a hatchet man. So go and enjoy the rest of your dog walk, and we will speak to you again soon.
Is the dog bored with you now?
Take care.
We should keep him on for this, because it's time to play his favourite game.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, Beat the Pundit time. Get in touch, see if you can win a signed ball and humiliate, take the shirt off Hugh Keevans or Scott Allen in the process, but you have to call before 7 o'clock. 0141 951 1025.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Scott Allen are here. It's 0141 951 1025. What are you thinking tonight then? Last night in Bilbao, Rangers fans, where did it go wrong? What did the team get wrong? What did the officials contribute? I can see so many of you still wanting to have your say, and you're more than welcome to. It might be a good junction of the show to move in a different direction. It is Scottish Cup semi-final weekend, so if you've any thoughts there, do get them in. Brendan Rodgers, yet again, a lengthy and detailed appeal, it seemed like, for the club and Greg Taylor to resolve their differences and see him stay at the club. What do you make of it? Do you see this now heading in a slightly different direction from what we thought a couple of weeks ago? What are you thinking specifically about the games this weekend? I'd definitely put that out to you Hearts fans, because some people are building it up as being win or bust for Neil Critchley. Is it as extreme as that? Or do you see a bit more of a grey area in there? Give us a call. Huge weekend in the Championship. Lots to get through. We do this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, it is Beat the Pundit time. Let's see who we've got tonight. Is it going to be Hugh Keevans or is it going to be Scott Allen? Apparently you can overtake Simon Donnelly with a win tonight, Scott Allen. That is what's at stake. And the pundits have won all week. We need that to change tonight, Joe, in Coatbridge. Are you up for the challenge?
I'll do my best.
Good man. I like it. I like that. You sound just the right level of confident for me. Is this your Beat the Pundit debut?
Yep. First time.
Good. Why tonight? Are these two perceived as being dafties or?
No, I usually phone in, try and get the 5k minute, and I never get through. So I've never tried to phone here, and I thought, I'm going to try once. And
You do know that it's a signed ball, not £5,000 if you win. Is that all right?
Aye.
Good. I mean, you could always sell
it for 5k.
For £12.50 or something if you're lucky. Heads, it is Hugh Keevans. Tails, Scott Allen.
and it is Tails, Scott Allen, up against Joe in Coatbridge. So what we'll do here is give Scott something else to listen to, and that way, Joe, he can't hear your answers. You've got 30 seconds. Yep. Just answer as many questions as you can, all right?
Okay, yep.
Okay, 30 seconds on the clock. The time starts now. Who's the top scorer in the Scottish Championship?
Pass.
Who's the top scorer in this year's Scottish Cup?
Maida.
Who do Rangers play in their first game after the split?
St Mirren.
Which Celtic who did Celtic beat, to get to Hampden this weekend?
Hibs.
How many points were Hamilton deducted yesterday?
20.
Who is the second top scorer in the Scottish Premiership?
Besser.
Okay. Scott Allen, can you hear us?
Yes.
Good. Same set of questions. Are you ready?
Yeah.
30 seconds on the clock. Your time starts now. Who's the top scorer in the Scottish Championship?
Pass.
Name the top scorer in this year's Scottish Cup.
Maeda.
Who do Rangers play in their first game after the split?
St Mirren.
Who did Celtic beat to get to Hampden this weekend?
Raith Rovers.
How many points were Hamilton deducted yesterday?
Oh, it was Hibs. 15.
Who is the second top scorer in the Scottish Premiership?
Sam Dalby.
And who scored a last minute equaliser for Aberdeen against Celtic in the semi-final last season? Tough
Junior Hoylett.
That is tough. What do you think, Joe?
I think it might be even.
Let's go through them. Disappointed in you both.
Oh yeah.
Friend of the show.
Brian
top,
Graham.
Top scorer in the Championship. Brian Graham on 14. The top scorer in the Scottish Cup is Daizen Maeda. You both got it. Rangers play St Mirren first after the split. You both got it. You know this. It was Hibs.
Yeah.
Wasn't it? Joe got it. He goes 3-2 in front. However, you equalised straight away. Hamilton Accies 15 points. It was really bad, Joe. You've added on another 5 to them, giving them 20. Don't make it any worse. It was 15. Disappointed in you both here though. Second top scorer in the Premiership, Simon Murray.
And
for the record, Scott Allen, you had the chance to equalise, but it was Angus McDonald. That was a really, really tough question at the end, who equalised for Aberdeen. Remember it, mad game. Joe Hart missed the penalty.
I could never have given you Angus.
I'd have been wrong.
Exactly. Well, he came on and kind of changed the game, I think, didn't he? But you're right, Angus McDonald. So, okay, 3-3, which means we are going to a tiebreaker. Okay, I'll ask the question, I'll get Scott to write his answer down, and then invite you to give me your attempt, Joe, okay?
Yep.
Right, the question is this. Ali McCoist won back-to-back European Golden Boots 92-93. How many league goals in both seasons combined? Quick, Scott Allen, write it down. Ali McCoist, Golden Boot 92-93. How many goals in both seasons combined?
League goals?
Yes, write it down, please. Okay, and what are you going for, Joe?
59.
Okay. For the record, Scott Allen, if you could read your attempt out, please.
74.
74, says Scott Allen. 59, says Joe in Coatbridge. I can tell you the answer, and I'll let you all figure out who's closer. It's 68. Scott Allen has done it.
Yes.
6 away. I'm heartbroken, Joe. It's a clean sweep for the pundits this week.
That's all right.
That was not bad, though. You took them to a tiebreaker.
That's all right for my first.
Exactly. You're a Celtic fan, Joe?
Yep.
Any danger at all in St Johnstone because of what happened a couple of weeks ago, or does it actually go the opposite way and Celtic cruise through?
When we drop points to Aberdeen and then we end up hammering them at Hampden, so I'm hoping I'm going to go for 8-0.
Oh, wow. Joe was so level headed throughout Beat the Pundit, and now he's just gone for. Well, by the way,
when you think of Celtic last weekend, they were 4 up after 24 minutes, and they were playing a Kilmarnock team who are arguably better than St Johnstone, if only in league placings. So I don't think 8 is an impossibility.
Joe, see if he's agreeing with you on this. I think you've got it wrong. But you never know, you two could be the smartest guy. Are we seriously going to predict 8-0 for a...
I think it'll be 5.
He is, he's sticking by it.
The first half last weekend...
Could have been anything. To be fair, it could have been. And you know what will happen now, if they score 8, people will say that I doubted them. But it's not about that. It's just more the probability of that happening. But I mean, Scott, see if you're a St Johnstone fan, you kind of like, what are the chances that you beat them at home and then go and beat them at Hampden? Does that come into your head?
No, I think they're realistic of where their team's at the moment. Listen, they got Celtic on an off day. They defended really well, pitch played a part in the game. But after seeing, if any St Johnstone fans seen Celtic in that first half last week, they'll be, they know that it's going to be a real hard game.
If Celtic hit the kind of form that they did when they played Aberdeen at Hampden, yeah, semi final of the League Cup,
true, yeah.
They took six off Aberdeen, and it, as a team performance, it was first class. If they hit that kind of form on Sunday, St Johnstone are in trouble.
Where do you sit in Greg Taylor's future debate, Joe?
I was kind of hoping that Schlupp would get another contract, but it doesn't look, I can't see 7-3, so it looks like it might be Greg Taylor and Tierney, which...
Would you rather Schlupp than Taylor?
When he first signed, I was saying aye, but I think last week you seen how good Taylor could be, and then he's going to be number two to Tierney anyway, and Tierney's brilliant, so I'd be happy for him another way.
Now, thanks very much to Joe on the line. What do you think of that? Because this one keeps rumbling on. I wonder if you feel like it's changing at all, Celtic fans. Do you detect a change in direction here or not? Because Brendan Rodgers, again, there were reports this week, weren't there, that the club had gone and made a new offer to Greg Taylor. Brendan Rodgers was asked about that today. He said, as far as he knows, that there is no update, but then took the opportunity to once again at length explain why he wants Greg Taylor to stay. And he believes that he can dovetail with Kieran Tierney.
Someone sent me a headline yesterday, and I was hoping it was really true and that something's happened. But I don't know of anything. I think I've said all along he's a player I so want to keep here. But that bit of it is out of my hands now. So, but until then, we just continue to work with him and never give up hope. I'm hoping, and I'll hope that this is one of these ones that maybe can go on longer and doesn't go the other way, because normally in this situation it feels that way. But I think you see from Greg's performance last week, he was so good in the game, absolutely so good. It's one of the, in terms of that role, that inverted position, that's as good as I've seen that play last week. He's such a fantastic player, but he's more than that. He's very instrumental off the field. You know, he's got big personality in the changing room. His character fits this club. Why? Because he's up for every single game. So he has so much more to him than his game, but his game is perfect for how we work and how we play, which is why I want to keep him so much. He's absolutely every right to just take his time and try and get your value met. No, I think he can play that role, but he has different strengths and different qualities. And that's also the part of the why when you're trying to build a squad, you know, you're trying to have different strengths within it. So Ken has his qualities of pace and power and run ability, and there's a passion for the club, and he obviously can't wait to be here. But we also need a squad of players, and for me it can dovetail perfectly with say someone like Greg here. But we have to wait and see.
The interesting line there for me was get your value met. Is that Brendan Rodgers' way of saying to the people who decide on wages, contracts, look, this guy has a value and we need to meet that value? Because if he goes now after that glowing testimonial from the manager, then inevitably the supporters will blame not Brendan Rodgers, but the folks upstairs.
How do you feel if you're Greg Taylor, you hear the manager give it all that?
Yeah, you're absolutely buzzing if you hear your manager speak about you in their terms. I think at the same time, though, his agent will be delighted if he's speaking to other clubs and he can get a testimonial like that from Brendan Rodgers. But listen, for me, I think I'm a big fan of him. I think he speaks about him when he was comparing him and Kieran Tierney. They are different. I think you see Greg Taylor last week, when he does go into that inverted fullback, he does have quality, gives him something different. I don't know if KT maybe has that same sort of personality in that area of the pitch, but like obviously Brendan touched on, the pace and power. So if you're Brendan Rodgers, you want the two, obviously both Scottish fullbacks as well. I think as Hugh says, I think it's more of a listen to the board, meet his valuation, and I want him here. If you're Greg Taylor sitting listening to that gives you that, I want to get this done.
Sorry, Hugh, because I was going to say he could, there's an alternative option there for Brendan Rodgers, where he takes the approach and says, you know, Greg needs to remember the grass isn't always greener. No, but it's none of that. He's very much on his side, if you listen to what he's saying.
Absolutely.
There.
Glowing in his praise of Greg Taylor. Greg Taylor's a special one for me, because the Celtic fans, he was always the whipping boy. If anything went wrong, it was Greg Taylor's fault. And now they're all very, very keen for Greg Taylor to stay. Nobody more so than the manager. So for me,
tells you everything.
When the manager says get your value met, he's talking to the player and also talking to the people who decide contractual terms at Celtic Park.
Let's bring in Michael and get his take on it. Michael, what are you thinking?
I'm quite confused today. One of the callers, the previous caller, that made a statement they would have liked to have seen Sloop sign a new contract. That only last week he's seen what Greg Taylor can bring to the club. Greg Taylor has been nothing other than fantastic playing that inverted fullback role for 18 months or so. I feel he's been treated very, very badly. When the Celtic supporters were shouting Kieran Tierney, Kieran Tierney, when the rumours were he was coming back, Brendan Rodgers publicly came out and defended Greg Taylor. And 2 weeks later, Greg Taylor has spent every game on the bench. I'm confused. I don't see what Sloot brings. Yes, a bit more muscly. Greg Taylor plays that role better than anyone. He finds himself in central midfield at times. He's up, down, energy levels. I just feel he's been treated very, very poorly by the club. And if it was me, I would be looking to go elsewhere.
There's no proof that he's been treated poorly by the club until such time as Greg Taylor announces that he's signed a pre-contract with somebody else. As we understand it at the moment, the club are in fresh negotiations with Greg Taylor and his representative. So,
not to Brendan Rodgers' knowledge, though, he says.
Well, the story came from somewhere. But if Greg Taylor goes and there is a case to be made for saying, well, Celtic were tight-fisted there, then we can discuss it. But at the moment, as we understand it to be, the club and player and representative are still in negotiations.
See, just out of curiosity, Scott, in contract negotiation, does the manager stay so far out of it?
Yeah, quite a lot.
Never really mention anything about it?
No. I don't know if I've had a out with Peter Houston when I was really young at Dundee United, but in the years after that, I've never spoke to the manager in terms of what you're wanting paid, all that sort of thing.
Yeah, I suppose I don't think I'm necessarily expecting them to discuss the specific terms of the contract, but you know, just even as it's going along, to check in with the player, ask how it's coming along, or vice versa, nothing like that.
Yeah, I think nothing will be in terms of detail, in terms of the top figure and what you're obviously looking at to earn. But I feel Brendan Rodgers saying that is, he obviously knows something that's between agent, because Greg Taylor won't be talking to the board. It'll be his representative. Yep. It'll be, I'd imagine, Michael Nicholson, and they'll be coming one offer, the other one coming back, and then trying to meet in the middle between that. Brendan Rodgers obviously will have an ear to that, and he's obviously, it sounds to me that he's trying to push things along a bit.
How do you think this ends, Michael? Because it feels like a few weeks ago it definitely was going to end in Greg Taylor leaving the club. Brendan Rodgers doesn't seem to have given up on that. How do you think it ends?
I'm not entirely sure, and I don't fully 100% think that Greg Taylor's decision is coming down to money. I don't believe he's that kind of individual. I don't believe this to be that he's asking for a ransom. If he's asking for more money, in my opinion, what he's given Celtic, yes, there was a comment made about he used to be the whipping boy, but he's been out with Maeda. He's been one of the best players for Celtic for about the last 18 months, where Ange Postecoglou brought in this inverted wing-back role, and he's took to it like a fish to water. And I don't believe he's asking for a ransom. And Celtic have got so much money in the bank. If he's asking for a ransom, and he's not worth it, then you just wave goodbye. But I believe, I don't believe he's asking for anything that he's not entitled to or worth.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the key, because I've always said this. I have no idea what, you know, none of us know that side of it. But to be fair, Brendan Rodgers, he shined a little light on it there when he said he's trying to get what earn his worth or whatever the phrase was. That's what that means.
Get your value
get
met.
Your value
that's,
sorry.
Met. Right, that's what that means then, isn't it?
Yeah, that's exactly what that means.
So, Greg Taylor is out of contract. Therefore, and again, Scott, you'll know far better than I, but he's out of contract. Therefore, if you move to a club, there will be a financial incentive to get you to that club. Before you discuss wages, there's that side of negotiations to be attended to. And it's a delicate situation, and you know, there are players who get away and the manager doesn't want them to get away. Did I ever mention to you that Celtic should have signed John McGinn?
Once or 15 times, I think. Right, thank you very much to Michael, giving us his perspective. Some strong words there from Brendan Rodgers on the topic. As an example, Greg Taylor start the Cup semi-final this
without
weekend.
Doubt. Absolutely. Without really? Doubt. Yeah. You couldn't possibly...
No.
Leave him out after his display against Clamarnock. Now, all the things the manager has said, you know, he must be the first name written down for Sunday's team.
Okay, thanks again to Michael. 01419511025. Keep your calls coming, whether it's that topic, the game itself, the first semi-final tomorrow. Hearts fans, Aberdeen fans, what are you thinking? Hamilton Accies fans, are you going along to the game tomorrow? What do you think it's going to be like? Talk us through what the last 24 hours or so have put you through, and we will speak to you next.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Scott Allen are here. 0141 951 1025. Keep the calls coming in. If you would prefer to tweet your best Easter wishes to Hugh and Scott Allen, you can do that as well at Clyde SSB. Much prefer it on the phones, of course. So come on and give us your thoughts. Got a teaser for you, more of a kind of recent memory recall test. I don't know how you'll cope. Scottish Cup semi-finals. Who were the seven players who scored in last season's semi-final? Who were the seven players who scored in last season's semi-finals?
Angus McDonald.
I know. I think we need to take more care that the teaser and the beat the pundit question doesn't overlap. But there we go.
Angus McDonald. Dyson.
No. Wait,
no. Kyogo.
Nope.
Oh. Callum McGregor.
No. Who would have thought?
Junior Hoylett, though.
Angus McDonald was the only one so far. No. It's not great.
Jamesy Forrest.
Yes, well done. Okay. We'll see if you can get the rest. Thanks for all the questions that come in on the teaser. Don't forget, it's fulltime at Clyde1.com. Rose and Scotston sent that one in tonight. It's fulltime at Clyde1.com. Andy's in Shettleston. How are you, Andy?
I'm fine, pal. I'm fine.
Good. What made you call tonight?
I just phoned in because I seen people bumming up Greg Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a Celtic fan. He's 60 year old, and I think Greg Taylor's one of the worst left backs I've ever seen in a park in my life. As you see, he was a whipping boy in Pellers, because he was rotten, and I'd be glad when he's out the door.
The chief bummer-upper, to use a technical term, of Greg Taylor, though, is Brendan Rodgers in amongst all this, isn't it? Do you think so? Has he got this drastically wrong?
Well, I think he has. Everybody's got their opinions, but as you said, he was a written boy for years because he was bad. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I was... No. I was criticising the Celtic fans for making him the whipping boy. I cannot believe that you are so derogatory when it comes to Greg Taylor and saying he's one of the worst left backs you've ever seen at Celtic Park. That is nonsensical.
Presumably he's not worse. Presumably, Andy, presumably he's not any worse than all the ones that he's managed to see off who've come in and tried to take his place.
Tell me a worse left back.
That's the point. Bernabe, Laxalt, all the ones that couldn't get in front of him.
I don't see what.
Do you ever see Mark Wilson when he moved over to the left, Andy?
He's had a couple of good games now, people think he's a superstar. He's been rotten for years.
Wow.
Let him go. Let him go.
Well, I think, Andy, you are very much in a minority.
I'm in a minority. I know a million Celtic fans that can't stand him.
Well, no, you don't. You don't know a million people. So, You know, the
literal Hughes here today.
Oh, yeah. Well, if Joe or Andy rather wants to play hardball, then we just play hardball back. He doesn't know a million people. So he's a very fine footballer and he's been outstanding for Celtic. And to say that he is one of the worst you've ever seen is, I repeat, nonsensical.
I think you are allowed, Andy, it's the beauty of the show, you're allowed to think differently from the Celtic manager. That's why we're here. But if the Celtic manager, I'm talking about the gap between the opinions more than anything. I don't mind if you disagree with Brendan Rodgers, but do you not think that sounds a bit extreme, that Brendan Rodgers is saying he's wonderful at this, he's wonderful at that, the inverted, he's great to have around, I really, really want him to stay, I'm glad he's trying to get his value. You've got him as the worst Celtic left back you've ever seen.
Yeah,
you can't be that. You can't be that far apart from Brendan Rodgers in your assessment, surely.
Aye, I can.
No, I mean, yeah, you're right. To be fair. That's stupid questions. You get silly
stupid
answers. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That was my fault. Walked right into it. But yeah, Scott, look, I think I am not going to hammer the point too much because you're allowed to think differently from your manager. That's why we're here. You know that's kind of the point. But you think you would trust Brendan Rodgers a bit on this if you were a Celtic fan, even a wee tiny bit, you would trust him based on what he sees and what he's won and what he's kind of led Celtic to?
I'm just trying to think what Andy used to say about me. Yeah, listen, I think for me, Brendan Rodgers sees him day in, day out. He's been pretty consistent for me over the seasons he's been at Celtic Park. I like him as a player. I think he gives his all. I think, and at the same time, listen, it has to be more than that, but Brendan Rodgers actually talking about his quality in the ball, his football IQ, he does have that, he has an eye for a pass. I think in terms of the European competition, take the Bayern Munich game, I think at that level he's going to be tested just in physical terms because of the type of players he's playing against. So if you're looking at Greg Taylor in terms of domestically, is he good enough to be Celtic's left back? He is, and he has been.
The scale of the put down, the worst ever. I mean, clearly, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, clearly stupid.
On that note, we'll agree to disagree. Thank you to Andy and Shettleston on 01419511025. Mark Wilson was probably better on the right hand side when you think about it.
Yeah,
I know he played both, but he's on his stronger foot there. Keep the calls coming or tweet us at Clyde SSB. We're still here, plenty of time. We could look forward to that first semi-final tomorrow as well, if you'd rather do that. Hamilton Accies fans, we had loads of you on last night because it was such a momentous night in a bad way for the club. I wonder how you're feeling tonight now you've had a few more hours to digest the news and what you're thinking of tomorrow. Is that the type of thing that puts you off going tomorrow or actually makes you want to go and, I don't know, all be in it together or voice your frustration and your anger, whatever it may be? It would be nice to hear what your thought process is tonight because it was already going to be a blockbuster day in the Championship and it just got a bit more hectic. Why don't we hear a bit more from Brendan Rodgers? He's talking about that special Hampden relationship that Celtic now have but didn't always have, and he feels extremely confident every time they go to the National Stadium.
What I'm really happy is when I came here in 2016, there was always a wee bit of trepidation. I think Celtic went through a period where it was difficult both in semi-finals and finals. We sit here today, now arrived as a football club, in a feeling that we will win. And whether you do or not, but the feeling and the mentality is that we have a feeling that we can go there and perform. And that's a mindset that is now with everyone at the club, with players, with supporters, and then you go and deliver, and that's the plan. The feeling is that we can win, we will win, we want to win, and that's a different mindset altogether. So it doesn't guarantee you anything, because you still have to do the work, but it's much better going there, feeling that you can tip the scales more your way than not. And that just comes from that winning mentality, that feeling, that culture that you create, and obviously then going and really owning the pitch at Hampden. And that's what, in my time here in the main, that we've done.
You can only win your way into that position, Hugh.
Yeah.
Because I know there's a blasé approach to that, which is Celtic are the best team and the most money and their favourites in every game, so why shouldn't they be dominant at Hampden?
Yeah.
But Brendan Rodgers says they haven't always been.
No.
So, you know, it can't be taken for granted.
Absolutely not. But I do think that there are times when, for example, Brendan Rodgers has never, as Celtic manager, lost a Scottish Cup tie. Now, if he thought that record would be broken by St Johnstone, he'd be a deeply unhappy man. There are times when you simply have to look at where Celtic are, where St Johnstone are. I do know what happened in Dermot Park 2 weeks ago, and that's why the manager, by Brendan Rodgers' standards, went off his head because of the player's performance. I do think that Celtic will win by a distance on Sunday. The Celtic players ought to be thinking there are seven games left, five league games, cup semi-final, cup final, treble, and they have the capacity. I mean, all they have to do is draw with Dundee United. That's the league one. And then on they go to face either Aberdeen or Hearts, neither of whom is exactly tearing up trees anywhere. But St Johnstone's the first hurdle, and for Celtic to lose twice to St Johnstone would be beyond, it would be even more incredible than Andy saying that Greg Taylor's the worst left back he's ever seen.
Do you think other teams now feel it as well, Scott? Like, to go back to pre-2016, then maybe there was a notion that, well, we know Celtic are a decent side, but tell you what, see when you get them to Hampden, they don't really like it and they don't have their full crowd. Is it the opposite now, where teams think Celtic are very really going to lose here?
Yeah, I think when you're obviously, St Johnstone will go over an analysis of Celtic over the last few weeks, though, you usually always look back at the previous game, and if you look at the previous game, they'll know they're in for a really tough test. You use bits of the game at McDermott Park, but there's so many factors that play into that home win that just won't be replicated at Hampden. And listen, Celtic going for a treble, Brendan Rodgers has obviously got his point across, which with a few of his interviews over the last few weeks that have looks to me it's hit home with some of the players in the squad. So for me, there's only going to be one winner come Sunday.
Paul's on the line. How are you, Paul?
I'm good, mate. I'm good.
What are you thinking? What made you call tonight?
I was just thinking about that last caller there saying that Greg Taylor, he should get rid of him. No chance.
You think he was over the top in his criticism?
Yeah, 100%. 100%. I think Greg Taylor stood in ever since Kieran Tierney's left. Said Greg Taylor stood in. He scored a right good few important goals for us.
I was just going to ask Paul who is the worst Celtic left back you've ever seen then. Maybe that's the conversation we need to start tonight, Hugh.
See, that would
I
be
don't know who the worst Celtic back is.
I know, but what you do know without any shadow of a doubt, Paul, is that it's not Greg Taylor. No,
100% he's not the worst.
And if Celtic can keep Greg Taylor, then I think there would be rejoicing among the supporters. But
100% they're obviously Kieran Tierney's coming back, and he's Greg Taylor should still get a game before Tierney.
Oh wow, that's a big shout.
He's got a wonderful bargaining tool. All Greg Taylor has to say to Celtic's finance director or to the chief exec, Michael Nicholson, the manager thinks I'm absolutely brilliant. Yeah. So, and manager thinks I should get my value met. What do you think?
Scott, I suppose in a wider sense, like it is a team sport. Not everybody who's in a successful team is an absolute superstar, but just even in the basic level of like the number of trophies that he's won, and Brendan Rodgers has spoken, Ange Postecoglou obviously felt in a similar way.
Yes.
Should those things be at least, like, I know fans are allowed their opinion, but that stuff must pull you back away from the level of criticism we heard there previously, even a bit.
Yeah, listen, for me, there's no question in terms of his quality on the ball. The only thing, as I said, with the previous caller boys, in the big games in European competition where Celtic don't have a lot of the ball, physically it can be tough for him, which is expected because of the level that you're playing at. I think when you look at it in terms of his character, he's a boy who got released when he was younger. He stuck with it. He then went to Kilmarnock. He came through, played in the Kilmarnock team at a young age, gets his move to Celtic and came in and became a regular. That is not an easy thing to do. That says a lot about you. There's many players who have went to Celtic and you're out on loan and the following season. He's not. He's been a real standout for Celtic over the last few years under Postecoglou and Brendan Rodgers, guys who have coached at different clubs, so they obviously recognise the qualities that he does bring to the squad. Brendan Rodgers also on top of that talks about his qualities out with the pitch in terms of the changing room, and when you're wanting to build a squad, and that's what Brendan Rodgers has spoke about time and time again this season, to go further in Europe like next year and to build a team, you need guys like Kieran Tierney and Greg Taylor. And if the two of them are battling out for the number one spot at left back, then they might even push each other to new levels. So that kind of squad quality is good for what Brendan Rodgers wants and for where Celtic want to go.
Thank you, Paul. 01419511025. We're sticking in Postle Park. Well, David's next up. Hi, David.
Evening, guys.
Hi, David. What's your point tonight?
It's just a wee thought I had rolling around my head. I think Rangers getting to this point in this competition with the current squad we have is a arguably better achievement than getting to the final a few years ago with that squad.
Right, so you're talking just like pound for pound, the fact that that right. squad was much, much better than this one.
Yes.
Well, I mean, what do you think?
I don't think you can argue with that.
But yeah, yeah, it's just, but quarterfinals are so difficult to compare to finals, though, yeah. as well, aren't they? Because, and again, I know that squad's better, but then that squad put out Dortmund and Leipzig and Braga and came through a group that had the top the group with Lyon in it, I think. Certainly Lyon were in the group, so it's not something I would get worked up about either way, Hugh, but well, can you compare those two things?
The squad who got to Bilbao last night have returned some very impressive results, and Giovanni Van Bronckhorst, that run was breathtaking. Yeah. So I look at both and say Giovanni did well, but for Aaron Ramsey missing a penalty kick, who knows? And the combination of Philippe Clement and Barry Ferguson took Rangers to a point where you wondered if a final might be on again. But last night, I'm afraid, they fell way below the high standard that they themselves have set this season. So I'm not quite sure where you get with, you know, they're better than the squad that got to the final. It's a kind of redundant argument for me.
I think he's meaning in terms of with that group of players, the way the seasons went from August in the domestic form, I think, if you take the European run in terms of isolation,
expectation
with the individual no question for me.
Yeah, but I feel like that maybe takes a bit away from the other team as well. Like I know they were better than this one, but they weren't favourites to put out Dortmund or Leipzig or get to a final and come so close. David, I like the way your mind works. You said it was a thought rolling around in your head. You've now got us debating it. So overall then, what are you saying, you take a bit of pride from this run now that it's over? How do you look back on it?
I think if you look at the season combined, Europe's been the only shining light for us this season. It's hard to say as a Rangers fan, but it's just the truth. The team's been in and out of hospital more times than anybody I can think of. It's just this team's been weird with injuries, weird with results. It's just one of the weirdest teams I've seen in recent history and for Rangers. And the only thing we've got left now is to look forward to the 49ers coming in and another own form. It was a good journey where it lasted. Nearly drawn with Man United, drawn with Tottenham Hotspur. Only really one bad result against one of the teams that's probably going to win it. They've got two questionable penalty decisions, but I'm not one of the people going about that. We did really well to get this far. Another European quarterfinal. Europe's still for everybody, unfortunately.
It's an interesting one. You know, the game against Celtic on the 4th of May at Ibrox is a standalone game. I'm not sure about the other four that they play, how invested the players get in those games. But Celtic, one off. Barry Ferguson has the chance to beat Celtic back-to-back. Celtic Park, Ibrox. He'll want that. But that game stands alone. I'm not sure about the other four.
Thanks to David. 01419511025. Who were the goal scorers in last season's cup semi-finals? Angus McDonald and James Forrest so far.
Raskin.
No.
Miovsky.
Yes.
Dessers.
Yep. And we'll get the rest when we return.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
We are on the home straight with Hugh Keevans and Scott Allen, but still time for you to call if you so wish. 0141 951 1025. Tough question tonight on the teaser. Sometimes the most recent ones are the hardest. Can you name the goal scorers in last season's Scottish Cup semis? Miovsky, Angus McDonald scored for Aberdeen. James Forrest of Celtic. Cyril Dessers of Rangers. I'll tell you, it's only Cyril Dessers from Rangers. Okay.
Matt O'Reilly.
Yes. Two to get. Any further forward, Scott?
Struggling a wee bit with that one.
Right, first semi-final tomorrow at Hampden. Who'll be the first team through? Kenny is a Hearts fan. How are you feeling about it, Kenny?
Positive, guys. Evening, thanks for having me on. I'm feeling positive. We've got to get a wee break now and again, you know what I mean?
Is Hugh Keevans being Hugh Keevans-like when he says it's almost win or bust tomorrow for Neil Critchley, or is that accurate?
No, in my opinion, that's just Hugh being Hugh, but sorry for that, Hugh, I didn't mean any offence. No, I think Critchley needs this summer and a pre-season, you know what I mean? He needs to put his... And I've just noticed today we've signed a left-back and a right-winger. A right-back and a winger as well, so it's looking good, you know. I'm liking it. Listen, we can't all be impatient and go, right, it's going to happen now. None of us are going to burst the Celtic Rangers dominance for the first few years. None of us are going to break that.
But Kenny, Kenny, can I just contradict? It's looking good. How can you say that the week after 0-0 against Motherwell at Fir Park, and you know you lost to Dundee United at Tynecastle, you didn't score in either game, and you didn't make the top six? How is that looking good?
Well, I'm looking at the future, Hugh. You know what I mean? I'm 60-year-old now, and I've got a 16-year-old and a 14-year-old that go to every game with me, home and away. It's looking good for the future. You know, he's got to build his own team. He's taken over for the what was left with Naismith and what's his name, director of football. Oh, come on, Hammond.
Joe Savage.
Joe Savage. Thanks, Gordon. I really see we're in a transition period, Hugh. But I'm liking the look. You know, they're finally bringing to youth. And my biggest complaint would be, many, many years ago, Harry Stone was deemed as the next Craig Gordon. He's the protege. He's the goal to be. What age does he have to be to get a shot? You know, Craig got it at 18, 19. Harry Stone, he's been loaned out. That's my only disappointment with what Hearts are doing now with some players.
Well, you get Xander Clark there. Good goalkeeper.
Injured this weekend, incidentally.
But I just, you know, I hope you're right, Kenny, but I just look at it and think, I'm not sure about this. And, you know, you've this season failed to beat Celtic, Rangers, Aberdeen, Hibs, bottom six. If you go out to Aberdeen tomorrow, you know, remember that the Scottish Cup is a pathway to Europe, because Celtic will be in the Champions League. So if you fail to make the final and give yourselves that opportunity, I don't know where the optimism comes in.
There is an accusation that...
Well, I know those
they have, well, I think that's it, as Kenny said, as Hugh said, Scott, it's about the fact that they haven't won so-called big games. And I don't mind, listen, I like Kenny's optimistic outlook. It's a healthy way to be. Do something I don't usually do and partially stick up for you. It's not just Hugh that thinks this could be a difficult period for Neil Critchley if he doesn't win tomorrow. I do think there are a number of Hearts fans who feel that way.
Yeah, I think you've seen the reaction, obviously, after the draw at Motherwell as well, where it kind of speaks volumes in terms of the youth coming through. I think when you've got a system like the Jamestown analytics come summer, if they get players in, I think that then closes spaces for the young boys to come through. I think James Wilson, obviously, off the top of my head, has been... he's been the one who's really stood out for me, and up until he gets sent off against Dundee United, I fully expected Hearts to go on and win that game. But that was definitely a turning point in that game. For me, tomorrow, I think Aberdeen are favourites for me. I think Hearts, obviously, with that diamond shape on Hampden, big pitch. Aberdeen with guys like Shaden Morris, real pace. You're asking a lot of the guys who are playing in the outside positions of the diamond to get out and close guys with some real speed. That could be a long day for Hearts unless he changes something. So I like Kenny's obviously positivity, but I know a lot of Hearts fans who are, feel there's a bit of unrest there.
Tip Aberdeen, make Kenny's night. You know how it works.
You know how it works, Kenny. Aberdeen 3-1.
Thank you very much to Kenny on the line. Looking forward to the game tomorrow. 01419511. 102.5. Big game for Aberdeen as well, because you look at that, I think we've said it before, that balance that they sit in right now, where they might finish third and get to a cup final, they might finish third and win a cup, or that can, it can quite drastically change. It can be fifth and out of the semis. So they're in a, such a delicate place just now. Between, they put it this way though, they've still got an outstanding season in their hands. That's a nice position to be in.
Sure, but I was taken aback by them last Sunday. Rangers make 9 changes. Rangers go 2 goals down. Rangers go a man down. Aberdeen have half a game left to play with all of those advantages in their favour, and they don't win.
At least he's got the positives to lean on from the first half. Scott, I'm sure he'll probably be referencing them, won't he, to try and replicate it and guard against what happened second half.
They're scoring goals. I think there was that stage where none of the strikers looked like they were going to hit the back of the net. They're now scoring goals. Yes, the second half wasn't good enough from an Aberdeen perspective, but quite easily could have been 3 with Kevin Nisbet one that a lot of people moaned about. But unfortunately, Rangers go up the other end and nick an equaliser. But listen, for me, I feel in terms of what Aberdeen bring, pace out wide, strikers back on form, I think they're favourites for me.
Okay, and quite a day in the Championship, Hugh. Hamilton Accies at the centre of it all of a sudden.
So much going on there. You know, Queen's Park, the visitors to Hamilton. Hamilton, the devastating news yesterday of the points deduction. A lot of unrest in the background involving the club supporters. Queen's Park, goodness me, it's hard to see them win a game. Of the 3 remaining in the season, it's hard for me to see them take a single point, which may yet have the ability to save Hamilton Accies. But that will be a game that's an awkward watch for a number of reasons. I think the atmosphere there, the popular word is toxic, but I think it's accurate. I think it'll be a toxic atmosphere at that game tomorrow.
How do you approach that if you're a player tomorrow, Hamilton Accies player?
Hamilton Accies player, listen, you go out, there might be a bit of pressure off in terms of, listen, it's not in our hands now with the deduction. Go out and try and give the best version of yourself. I think as a footballer, yes, there's things that go in the background, but the one thing you can affect is how you perform and how you apply yourself on a football pitch. So from that sense, once you step over the white line, you'd expect nothing more than professionalism from the team. But once you come off and as the week progresses and you start to find out more of what's actually going on at Hamilton, because listen, for all we know, there could be a lot worse news than what's come out.
I want to know if Mark Wilson's going to take that stopwatch to Dunfermline and have the gall to stand on the opposite dugout to Neil Lennon with his stopwatch.
That's a big game as well. Looking forward to tomorrow afternoon's show. Quickly round off the teaser for me then. Who are the 7 players who scored in last season's Scottish Cup semi-final? Bojan Miovski and Angus McDonald for Aberdeen, James Forrest and Matt O'Reilly for Celtic, Cyril Dessers for Rangers.
Shinny?
Nope.
No. Kuhn?
Yes. And who was Miovski's sort of understudy that day in that game and generally last season?
He scored overhead kick against Hibs.
Give me a name.
Sokler.
Esther Sokler, well done. Pulled it out of the bag at the end. Thank you to Hugh Keevans and Scott Allen. Thank you for listening, for calling, for tweeting. Back tomorrow at 2 o'clock. So we will meet you here. We'll go through all the Championship action, the Scottish Cup semi-finals as well, and enjoy the rest of your Friday in the company of the GBX.